Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Knocking your teeth loose with the best hockey coverage possible. This is Hockey Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
From downtown Toronto, this is Hockey Central at Noon with Darren Millard. Today we are going to chat about the three games last night and some fallout from the Calgary Flames going on the offensive to quell some trade rumors. Also, look ahead to 12 games in the NHL tonight, some more injury news, and popular opinion about Sidney Crosby, who continues to crank it up. Out of this world numbers, head-to-head against the New York Islanders. Joined in the studio today by Nick Kypreos and Doug McLean. It was an Islanders victory last night when they were looking at defeat. And the Toronto Maple Leafs lay an egg against the Calgary Flames. But I think that's disrespectful to the Calgary Flames, in a sense, who have things going.
Yeah, I thought they, there's been... The Flames haven't been quite the same team as they were 2 years ago, mm-hmm. and I thought last night we saw Giordano and Hamilton be a good pair. We saw Brody take play a real good game, and obviously Chad Johnson was terrific. But overall, I thought it was a really hard fought, determined effort by
maybe
a team.
Maybe the best 60-minute performance of Calgary's year.
And I think it grew from the success of their road trip. I think they got some confidence on the road. Chad Johnson gave them, helped them get that confidence, and I think it's built, and they've been better. They've been a better team. The Leafs had 39 shots, but Chad Johnson was solid. But did he have to make any – he made a few great saves. Mm-hmm. But I thought the overall team performance was really much improved, and that's a great sign from the road. Guys, we were sitting here saying this 6-game road trip could end their season. Mm-hmm. And they're right back in it.
Toronto wasn't ready.
No, they weren't ready. But that's the consistency out of a young team is that they're inconsistent and they're unpredictable. And I think that certainly fell in the first minute. They didn't play a bad hockey game after the first minute.
They lost 1-0 in 59 minutes.
They weren't ready. Unfortunately, the game was over. Right? You just don't know. You don't know whether or not you can come back. Some nights you look back and you say, where are we with that first minute? And I think last night's a prime example of that. But that is going to happen. We talked all week about when your core guys are that young and they're still learning how to win, you're going to have nights like that. But overall, I think the Leafs are right where, management's pretty happy with. Despite the bad start, you look at it from a whole and you're sitting there going, the blown leads on the road, that's not going to happen forever. Overall, they got to be pretty happy.
You know what I'm seeing out of this Toronto Maple Leaf team is when there's a reason to be really excited for a game, they can bring it. Mm. When they have a matchup against Connor McDavid, they bring it. Mm-hmm. When they're playing Patrick Laine or the Montreal Canadiens, those two games in Montreal, they really bring it. Yeah. When it's a nondescript type game, they have trouble.
Well, now you're talking
the level
about
of their game.
But now you're talking about what a real pro learns when you go from junior hockey or another program into the NHL. It's those nights that you can bring it when you don't get jacked up.
And what about
when the stage isn't as big?
Yeah.
And what about Enroth? I mean,
that wasn't on him.
No, but I'm saying this, he takes some heat because of being down 3-0, but Elliot did it last night. The schedule he's faced.
Oh, I don't care about the schedule.
I do.
Your backup goalie.
Just a minute.
Just
a minute. The four games he's played.
I know. They suck. I know. It all sucks.
The other team's sitting there waiting for him.
Yes.
And the team has been a no-show.
Yes.
I look at the three goals last night.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what goaltenders would have stopped those three.
That rebound.
One rebound. What a rebound. But where's your
defense? What?
So
don't make that rebound.
Just because you give out a rebound, can't your defense clean up the play once in a while?
Jake Gardner was facing the wrong way.
Yeah. No. Your defense help you with a rebound once in a while?
You're a backup goalie. You get crud. That's what you get. Okay.
That's not true.
You don't get handpicked
starts.
That's not true.
Lots of backups don't get a schedule.
You
like
can't protect Anderson and protect Enroth at the same time.
Yeah, but
you're paid to go in there and and have nights when you, when your team has every reason to lose.
Yeah.
That's your job as a backup goalie.
Lots of backups don't get the schedule he's had. Lots don't.
Yeah, I'm not buying it.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to. We can agree to disagree on that.
Where are you going? Are you done? Is Jeff Merrick coming in?
It was so good.
No, this is awesome. Hey. We're having an absolute drop-down fight over Jonas Enroth.
But here's the thing.
This has never happened before in Jonas Enroth's life.
My good friend from L.A. just phoned me, Jeff Sharon, and I just put it on and left the phone on, and he didn't hang up. He stayed
listening from L.A. I don't know how many brothers or sisters Jonas Enroth has, but even when he was like 7 years old in the family, he didn't cause this much of a fight.
Good.
That was spectacular, you guys.
Give the kid a break once in a while. Play a little better for him, maybe.
That.
Yes.
I will agree with.
Right.
But I'm also with Nick. If you're a backup.
Yeah, you get a tough schedule, but some guys will sometimes dig down a little bit and help you out. They haven't yet for him.
Would you have started Freddie Anderson?
Probably.
I would have.
I would have.
Why, if he's going that
good. Why not? Is
good?
He that tired?
The sympathy I have for Enroth is looking over your shoulder and seeing Ramo.
Yeah.
Okay? Just practicing with the team.
Yeah.
And I just signed there, and I'm on a one-year deal, and I'm looking over my shoulder. That isn't easy.
Can't you throw me a bone once in a while to give me a chance to get a win?
No. I don't think
Can't
you should.
Can't the team just play a little bit harder?
I don't agree with that. Throwing him a bone, giving him an easier start.
Sometimes it doesn't help to get a guy's confidence. We talk about it all the time with all kinds of players. It's confidence building for your players. When you got defense, sometimes you'll back off on a matchup to try to get a guy going. Your job as a management team is to try to help build confidence for guys that are struggling. You think he's confident right now?
Now it's just,
I would hope he isn't.
Every bad start makes him feel worse.
Yeah.
Am I going to be here next week? Am I going to get replaced? There's some nights you have a bad show because, you know, John Shannon's around the corner.
Yeah.
Right?
Totally.
Ready to replace you.
Totally.
Here's the other thing. If you guys really believe that the Toronto Maple Leafs can make some strides and make a push, you've got the most back-to-backs in the National Hockey League this year. 18. If you're going to start Jonas Enroth.
All 18. Yeah.
And you're going to let 30... Say he wins three, mm-hmm. you're still letting 30 points.
You're not going to make the playoffs.
No. Is Jonas Enroth a National Hockey League goaltender?
He's proven he can.
Yes,
he's a backup.
He's proven he can play.
Is he the same guy I watched in Philadelphia in the playoffs, or who was that?
No, he's not the same guy.
It was a similar guy. What was his name?
I don't know. I have no idea. He was a goalie.
He took Mason's job in Philly in the playoffs.
Neuwirth,
yeah. I thought it was the same guy. I'm kidding.
I'm like,
it's the same end. Ends with the same TH.
We're using
it?
Telepathy here.
It's TH at the end of both their names.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, Enroth's been a good goalie at times in his career. He's considered a decent backup as well.
But he's not feeling the love from his coach.
No, he's
or
not.
His general manager.
No, I don't. I think that's the point I've been making.
I don't think
like
Babcock feels any sympathy towards
no,
him.
No, zero.
And he didn't to Jimmy Howard, and he didn't to Mrazek, probably.
But he did for Anderson. And
yeah, because,
apparently that,
yeah,
that was enough to make him feel pretty good. And
5 years at $5 million would cause a little of that.
Not he doesn't have the jitters anymore. He seems a lot more in control.
But it's different worked. Because Anderson is a number one $5 million five-year contract.
Are we know that for sure?
Well, we know he's getting 5 years, $5 million. We know that for sure.
Yeah. You want to say bona fide number one?
It's like when you're a general manager and you sign a guy for 5 years at $6 million, you like him a lot more than the guy that's 3 years at $1 million.
But it's really important
that he's successful.
But the bottom line is, if you want to get some experience in playing close games in February, Jonas Enroth is going to have to put up some points.
I would have played Anderson last night.
I would have too.
I would have just said, ride it out. Maybe you go 3-for-3 on this Western road swing, and Anderson's feeling great. I just don't understand. I get the percentages of the analytics on the back-to-back nights, but come on, the guy's 6'5". He's just starting to feel good. He's just warming up. Anderson's just warming up.
You've been through.
Let him go.
You've been through college hockey with your son. When do college hockey coaches start looking at it and saying, we can't play back-to-backs? Our goalies can't play back-to-backs.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Well, they have three goalies.
Yeah.
They have two.
And they all come out for the anthem.
Yeah, they have two guys on the bench. Yeah. So they can go period by period.
I don't understand why goalies can't play back-to-back.
No, I don't either. And you know what? The analytics, I still get very mixed messages on the analytics on the back-to-backs because...
But you're always going to lose more than you win in a back-to-back.
I've been saying that for 3 years.
Always.
Since I started to read about this.
Whether you start
I know your one thing,
backup or your starter.
There's one guy in the league that's not worried about back-to-backs.
Goalie Bob?
Yeah, John Tortorella.
Yeah.
Because he's on pace to play 72 games, which will be a lot of back-to-backs. And Tortorella knows that if he doesn't, he may not make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And today, they're right on the verge of being in the top three in the Metropolitan. So, and the reason, the team's playing well, but goalie Bob is going to play a ton. He can play back-to-backs.
It might be the biggest surprise in the National
you know
Hockey
that group.
Seriously, we don't want goalie Bob to get hurt, though.
You know
that, maybe back him off a little.
You know that groin can go any second, eh?
Back him off, Torts.
It's a banjo.
And then I'll throw in another twist on this whole back-to-back is... The Montreal Canadiens, when they play a Friday and a Saturday, and the Friday night's always on the road, the Saturday's at home. So 99% of the time, which game on a back-to-back does your starter play?
Price will get at home.
Not with them.
But they play Price in the second game.
At home.
Why is that?
Because you have a better chance to win at home. So take your win. Take your win. Take your win. Yeah. Yeah. You take your win.
No, you have a better chance to win the first game.
No, I'm with him. Take Saturday night.
Take you're
it's a bigger night on Hockey Night in Canada.
Okay. Yes.
My point is you have a better chance.
We don't care about the Friday game
at home.
We want praise on a Saturday night.
If you're back to back as your second game's on the road, that's a different story.
But don't you always if you just take the numbers?
Except it's Price.
I know. That's
except
the bizarre
it's Price,
thing.
Yeah. Now, Marty Biron, is it Marty Biron, the Buffalo goaltender? Is that his first name?
I don't know. You're really not
Biron,
good at goals.
Biron.
Yes,
he's the analyst.
Yes,
and
he's
a great kid, and he's a good analyst. He made the suggestion, and I kind of like what he said. Play the back-to-backs and give the goalies a Tuesday off, so all of a sudden they get 5-day break. I like that look on versus this whole back-to-back phenom.
Well, treat them like a pitcher.
He's saying,
play them the back-to-back,
and then give them the Tuesday or Wednesday off.
Anderson,
give them your apartment in Florida and bring them down for 3-4 days. How about that?
To help the Leafs.
How about they get
anything
separate
to help
rooms?
The Leafs is my philosophy.
How about they get separate rooms like Roger Clemens used to and all the star pitchers? They don't even stay at the same hotel
The NHL players get that now.
Any more suggestions?
If you play over 20 games, don't you get a single room on the road now?
Clemens didn't even stay at the team hotel?
I don't know.
Don't the players...
That's
isn't the new CBA,
There's some guys that got separate... sometimes the hotel isn't good enough.
In the last CBA,
I'm not making it up. There are some times when players don't even stay at the same hotel as the team.
In the last CBA, the NHL players get a single room, and management are staying together now because they've cut back. So anybody over 20 games gets a single room, isn't it?
Chad
is it 400?
So who gets the fold-out, Coach?
Chad Johnson was perfect. Chad Johnson has emerged as Calgary's season saver. Goaltender. Yep.
Was he ever.
He stepped up behind a defense that's coming together and playing better. Yet
that was their strength the last few years.
But Doug pointed out the points per game, the pace for the number of points from that blue line this year are almost half of what they were last year.
They had 144, the three of defensemen, Giordano, Brody, Hamilton, 144 points last year. This year on pace for about 80.
Signs. That. But you like that.
Well, I think they're trying to play more of a 200.
Nobody saw going into December that Frolik and Bennett would be your top scorers. Okay,
and Frolik with a beautiful feed last night.
And no Monahan, no Gaudreau,
no Monahan. I mean, scoring. He hasn't played well. Yeah,
scoring.
Not only him.
Right? He hasn't, but, they're not scoring and Bennett, where they should be scoring.
Like, we talked at the first of the year, they're four of their top six you would absolutely love to have in Goudreau, Monahan, Bennett, and Tkachuk. For the future, that's a great four of top six. And all, like, Tkachuk's been maybe their best player. And he's a kid.
Yeah, that's...
Monahan will come on. But they were counting on 30. Goudreau's injured. And Bennett is... You'd love to have Bennett, but he's not where he's got to be yet, Bennett. For me. And you love Bennett. Yeah. But to me, that's at five goals, that's you need more
lineup.
From him.
That's the whole lineup.
Matthew Tkachuk is on pace to lead a team in goals and penalty minutes for the first time since Wendell Clark in 1985.
Yep.
And his dad did that too, didn't he? First 10, 15 games of his career in Winnipeg?
No, he had the same number
penalty
of points.
Penalty minutes. Yeah. And penalty minutes. He led.
But he didn't do it the whole year.
No.
And I don't think Matthew Tkachuk's going to be able to do it the whole year.
I'll tell you what, though.
They
hope
not. They hope not.
Yeah.
I just, the Goudreau, everybody talks contracts. I don't know what the reason is, but I guarantee you this, for Calgary fans, that group of four forwards are going to be really good for a long, long time. Yeah, they've had a tough start to the season, except for Tkachuk and Goudreau with his injury, but he was just coming on. That's the frustrating part. Johnny Goudreau was just coming on and starting to score when he got hurt. That group of four is going to be really, really good for that franchise, in my opinion.
And I like what Michael Ferland brings to that lineup up front, too.
And Frolik. Yeah. Like, Frolik's a bit of a forgotten guy. I mean, people around the league love this kid. Do you know how many teams would love to have a Frolik on their team?
He just always ends up outpricing himself wherever he is.
Where do you guys put the Dougie Hamilton situation today after what you heard from both Brad Treliving, the general manager, and then a spicier version from Brian
Burke? Really, really spicy. But we've heard spicy before from Brian Burke. That's what he does. He protects his players. I was one of them way back. You love it. You love it as a player. And I think that there's a part of Dougie Hamilton that feels a little better today, knowing that Brian said what he said. Now, does that really change anything? You know that they don't like this core group as a whole. They've been disappointed with, so far, I think, the return from Dougie Hamilton on a whole. He's played better lately, which is a great sign. But don't tell me for one second they're not looking at that lineup saying, how can we tweak it? How can we make it better?
So you're suggesting that they're trying to trade him.
I'm not suggesting that they're trying to trade him. I'm suggesting that they're looking at him. I believe 100% that they would consider trading him. But you can say that with almost anybody.
Do you think they have, in fact, talked to teams about him?
I think there's been conversations. Now, who starts the conversation?
We don't know that. No, we don't know
okay?
that.
And we shouldn't know that. That goes to, is it really, really important who starts what or how the conversation comes up? Because we are now in this era where there's a big, huge difference between shopping a guy or taking calls on a guy.
And I'll tell you.
And I'm sitting there going, you can spin it any way you want. Now, listen, over the course of my broadcasting career, my understanding how it works, and you can speak to this better than anybody because you've been there and you've lived it. But when you are interested in a particular guy, is it common courtesy to sit there and before you call, you just cold cock a team on a phone call, right? Mm-hmm. Do you sit there and say, let's just say for argument's sake, okay, we're just using this as an example, that you called up Calgary. Do you say, I'm looking for a right-handed defenseman, or do you say I'm calling for Hamilton?
What typically happens is you get a vibe as a GM that somebody's not happy with somebody. Okay, so or they've got an overabundance of a certain type of player, or you hear rumblings that somebody could be on the block. So you phone and you say, hey, is there any truth? Is there any interest? Is there any chance that you would consider moving Doug Hamilton? That's what the call is, how I did it, how people did it with me.
That sounds like what Brian said happened.
Yeah. So, but here's the difference. And I told it last night. Pierre Lacroix used to say to me every time we talked trade, and we did a couple of deals. Pierre would say to me, Doug, we're going to probably make this deal. We're moving down the road. If this trade, if this gets out, I know it's not coming out of Colorado. If this gets out, the trade's off. I'm out of the deal. And I used to say to my guys all the time, if I'm involving you in a trade discussion, if I'm involving my assistant GM, my director of player personnel, my director of amateur, it better never get out of my office.
All right.
So that's the thing. And if you phone and ask about a player and they say, you know, I might consider that, what is the, you know, then you are, the confidentiality thing kicks in big time, big time. You can't let it get out. Now, sometimes GMs get carried away and they phone the guy's agent.
That happened to you.
That happened to me where, you know, a guy phoned me, a current general manager.
I'm sorry, but once word gets out to that secondary layer,
that's
all bets are off.
That's right.
You know, you can go back to Pierre and say, listen, you know, it got out.
Yeah.
And I can tell you that it didn't come from me.
Yeah.
And how many people underneath your layer know it? Three, four, five, six now. I'm sorry, but I can't keep it. I can't keep track of everybody.
Here's what happened to me on one deal. I had a current NHL GM phone me and say, would you trade Adam Foote? Adam Foote's my captain. I said, no, I'm not trading Adam Foote. That GM phoned his agent and said, I just phoned Columbus. I'd like to get Adam Foote out of there. Okay? Adam Foote confronts me in the dressing room. I remember to the day in Vancouver. Are you shopping me? I said, no, I'm not shopping you. I'm not shopping you. Well, I was told you shopped me. I said, well, I don't know how it's got that. So I phoned the GM back and said, like, are you kidding me? That's out and out tampering, what you just did, you know? So, you know, that is what, and I will listen to Berkey yesterday. I have no idea what happened, if anything happened, but it bothers you when you have a conversation with another team and it gets out because it puts everybody in a bad situation.
You know what? I know. I get it.
And you get all your scoops.
I get the sensitivity on that. But when we're talking about this phone right now.
Yeah,
and social media and the amount of information now that gets filtered. You got almost... You got to shut it out.
But you know how
you
it gets.
Shut it out.
But Nick, here's how it gets out.
What do you mean shut it out?
I mean, just the white noise.
Yeah.
Just are you talking about noise. The player?
Everybody.
Everybody.
No. Everybody.
But here's what teams.
Everybody. You can't control once it's out there. Like to go out now and like if a player today, and especially when you're a marquee guy like Doug Hamilton and the $6 million, I think it's more part of the business now than ever before to hear your name, and you just gotta just rise above it, you know, to hear a player all of a sudden can't play anymore or he's just, you know, beside himself because he read his name in a paper or heard it on a radio show. But, to me, it's like,
but you know what else, how it gets out?
No, not today. Today you got to truly be a pro here and just play and just don't worry about it.
But listen,
I know it's easier said than done.
The other way,
but we got some, I know there's really sensitive people out there.
The other way this got out, though, Nick, too, is you got a Toronto scout in Philadelphia watching Calgary. You got Brad in Toronto watching Toronto. It doesn't matter if it's – but that it also gets out because of scouts following teams, too. Let's not kid ourselves. That's another way that this stuff gets – and they put two and two together. You know, maybe nothing. There may be no truth to it. You know what? People surmise and
there's a demand for it. You know it. What's it do? It creates interest. Listen,
it just created the last 10 minutes of the show.
Yeah. Good. Well, we're just explaining
some of it may become true. Others can die on the vine. To sit there and suggest that two teams are talking, but a deal never happens, it's still the teams were talking, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's the interest, and that's the demand. People love that stuff.
John Shannon points out to the families get involved too.
So big time. Totally. But it's not just that. I remember sitting, you know, I'd signed Todd Marchant to a 4-year contract at $3.5 million. People thought it was a lot of money. He was an unrestricted free agent. I was kind of excited to get Todd. And I have a GM that goes to a big lawyers convention here in Toronto and stands in front of the lawyers convention saying how bad a contract I just signed with with Todd Marchand, and it leaks out of the convention. So I phoned the GM. I said, like, would you keep your mouth shut about my contracts? Like, do you have to go into a lawyer's convention and talk about one of my contracts? You know, and he, you know what he said to me?
Doesn't sound like you at all, does it?
You know what he said to me? He said, I didn't think there was any media in there. I mean, I said, okay, but I'm getting ripped now because of you shooting your mouth off in a lawyer convention.
See, that's when
and
you
I've heard this guy, the guy that did it to me, I've heard him on the radio a lot recently talking about other GMs.
That's where you just have to rise above it.
No, yeah, right.
And just, that's the white noise I'm talking about, and just move, stay about your business. No, not so much.
Try being in the business.
And it was a lot of money. The Marchand contract was a lot of money for the time.
3.75, but Nick, there was also 12 teams after him.
How would you have handled all of this when you played? So if you're a modern-day player today.
Yeah. I don't think any differently.
No?
I think, well, like anyone else, you want security. You want to know where you're going to be. It's the uncertainty that you always have to deal with as a player. I mean, I was a little different when I heard rumors of me going to Buffalo when I was a Ranger, all of that. It plays with you. There's no question that it plays with you.
And I would think it's...
I don't think it's changed 10%. Over the years.
Well,
but,
yes, it has. I'm
talking about the feeling that it gives you as a player.
But
it's tenfold now with social media.
It's unbelievable.
So...
Were you a guy that...
I'd feel a lot better if I had Dougie Hamilton's contract that followed me around anywhere I went.
But were you,
I can tell you that.
Were you a guy that when you heard the contract...
That would have eased the uncertainty.
When you heard the rumors, did it get to you? Was there anxiety? Was there that kind of stuff?
Yes, all of that. Like, 100%. 100%.
Because some people, it doesn't bother them.
But
seek it out. They read everything.
Oh, yeah.
Families read everything.
Yes, yeah. Like, seriously. It's tough. Tough not to. You know, you see an article and your son's name's in the and say, oh, I got to read this. What's going on? And where, you know, it's involved parents. Like, for most kids that make it to the NHL, their parents are involved. They have to be involved to reach the level because there's such a commitment by the parents in a lot of cases.
Not all of them, but in a lot of cases. It's more... prevalent than
now,
ever.
Big
ever.
Time.
I don't remember.
Like, I never met your parents when I was coaching you.
Yeah, and maybe it's just because they leak so young again. Now,
yeah,
right?
I know.
Well, that's part of it.
Yeah, it's...
They're kids.
I know. They're young and they're kids. And I remember dealing...
Yeah, I know, but there was a few 21 or 22-year-olds in every era. You just, as a parent, you weren't that involved.
I had Danny Fritchie. I had Danny Fritchie as a player for me, and he was just an unbelievable quality kid, MVP of the Memorial Cup in London. Just a great... I talked more to his father in the 3 years I had him than I talked to the kid. I mean, because Jim Fritchie was a coach... an involved parent, like it was like, are you?
But if you really want to, you know, connect the dots, just go back to minor hockey and see the way parents manipulate that opposed to when we grew up. Like, you dropped your kid off and you pick him up or you stay way in the back and you just watch
them. Isn't that what they're encouraging?
Now today, they run the show. Right, they make sure little Johnny has his little buddy Jeffy with them, and Maddie and
Darren. Why is Johnny the always picked on?
I thought that was a new model. Right? Drop your kid off at the rink.
And now he's paying the coach his salary, and it's wacky out there. Okay,
drop your kid off. Don't stay and watch him and talk to the coach.
Troy Crosby was.
I like the kids. I like when the car service to go to the airport. I like them telling me about they have hockey kids they have to pick up and take to their games in the limo.
Troy Crosby was always around for the first number of years with Sidney Crosby.
Yeah,
I mean, it's the way it is. Crosby, get the numbers here. They lose to the New York Islanders. The Islanders tie a National Hockey League record for the quickest two goals, scoring 3 seconds apart. There was no goalie in the second goal. But Crosby, with two assists last night in that loss, now has 100 points against the Islanders in 57 games. That's...
Gretzky-like numbers.
Yes.
Which is considered a rival.
Division rival.
More so in the past, but in a large part of that scoring... onslaught, they were big-time rivals.
and the Islanders were bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Remember when Crosby came back from the concussion?
We were there.
Lit it up. But wow, 100 points in 57 games, 31 goals.
I'd like to know how many goalies were in the net for those 100 plus points.
I believe just one at a time.
How many? No, but how many different ones? So what they have?
Yeah. 35
different goaltenders in that time frame?
Probably.
You tell me now where Pittsburgh is without Sid. Like, who else is having a good year in Pitt?
Yeah, Malkin scored last night.
Okay, but he's not having a good year.
No.
He's not having a Sid year. He's not having a great year. Nobody is. Not Phil. Their goaltending now, is that starting to weigh on them a little bit? Right? The alternating between him, Marc-Andre Fleury, and what's going to happen now? Because that's now a distraction. But, like, you take Sid out of that lineup
except
right now?
Well, you got to be careful here. You got Sid with 22 points, Malkin with 22 points, and Phil Kessel with 21 points.
Yeah. Malkin's a quiet 22.
And so is Phil. But it's the 15 goals that's carried the team. Sid's 15 goals has carried the team.
Fewer games for Sid, too.
Yeah, totally. Five.
Six.
Yeah, but when you say take Sid away from the Pittsburgh Penguins, there should be a big drop-off. Take McDavid away from the Oilers.
Well, Sid's missed games before, and Malkin's carried.
Yeah, he does it all.
Malkin's not carrying right now.
No.
He's getting his points, and he got one, tied the game up last night. But there doesn't seem to be a lot of highlight reel,
you know what,
games Nick, involving take, Malkin.
No. Take Sid away and take the 26 minutes a night that Letang is playing. Those two guys, Letang and Crosby, have been outstanding.
One other game last night.
I will say this, too. You keep an eye on that team. Jimmy Rutherford.
He doesn't stand pat.
He wants to change things up there.
Jeff Carter could not get the LA Kings past the San Jose Sharks last night. San Jose now leads the division, which is totally up for grabs. The Ducks are second, and the Oilers are third. LA's staying in it, though.
Yeah.
With their five-game winning streak was snapped last night. When we continue, we'll get to the games that are on the schedule tonight, and there are some dandies for you. It's Hockey Central at noon. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Sportsnet, the NHL Network, and if you miss anything, check out our podcast at iTunes.
Jeff Blair loves to commute. Let him join you on yours. Subscribe to podcasts of the Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now, more Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Lightship Station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. This is Hockey Central at noon with Darren Millard. Looking forward to 12 games on the NHL tonight. Nick Kiprios and Doug McLean here in studio. Okay, producer Matt has done the research. Now, this doesn't mean that this many goaltenders necessarily played against Sidney Crosby in those 57 career games against the New York Islanders, but over the time that Sid's been in the league, how many different goaltenders have the New York Islanders used?
21 goalies. Now we have
and through a period of 57 games, we said?
Yes, but not they probably didn't play in all 57 games. No. They've just had them on the roster.
Can you dig that up for us, please?
Yeah, sure. We've got 11 minutes left, so I'll get back to you next
well,
week.
The New York Islander game log.
Could you be with me over there? We get you a little desk. Listen, can you get some FaceTime, and all of a sudden now...
Can you phone me?
Oliver?
And let me know tomorrow, because I won't be here tomorrow, but I'd like to know for the weekend. If you could check it out, send me a note tomorrow, just as I'm getting to the beach.
Why don't we try and name them all right now?
Yeah, how many can you name?
I don't know.
You had Enroth playing for the Flyers.
Poulin.
Yep.
Not Dave.
Nope.
Halak. And what's his name? The
Billy
broadcast,
Smith.
The broadcaster.
Billy Smith.
DiPietro.
Well, why don't we start with the current goalies?
Halak.
Berube.
Berube.
Yeah.
And there's Grice.
Yep. Okay.
And then it goes from there. It would go to a... Gar Snow, was he playing?
Because I know
that
he
was
left,
only a matter of time.
I know he got pulled one game, yeah. And the next day he was a GM.
Marty Biron?
Do not ask him another goalie
That's pretty
question.
Funny. What's that? He was a part of there, right? Yeah. Nielsen?
He is forbidden to talk about goalies.
But am I right on that? Gar Snow got pulled one on a Friday and he was GM Saturday from a game.
Well, he took himself out.
Yeah, he took himself
out. Why wouldn't he?
He had to get showered and get a suit on.
I wouldn't even have showered. I would have just raced right there to the podium with my equipment on saying, I'm the GM.
I'm ready.
That was a big win last
before they changed their mind.
Big win.
they needed that. They were up 3-0.
And then to blow it?
To blow it. And then,
but
boom.
What about Pittsburgh? With you battle back from 3-0. Okay, if you battle back from 3-0 and you take it to overtime and lose, that's fine. But with 25 seconds left, by the way, just to give you a little hand, Montoya and...
Someone's feeding him now.
Rolison.
Yeah. What do you think that...
Montoya and Rolison.
Oh, my God. You're horrible. And now, can you...
I'm trying to do it for the fans.
Can you credit whoever sent that to you? Can you at least have the
some
courtesy?
Some guy, Marston, I've got here. Marstrom.
When
the
when
Bok off.
When you show highlights from someone else, you give them a courtesy.
Matt
Marstrom. You've worked with him for 9 years.
But I just go by Matt.
He thinks he's a goalie in the NHL. That's why he's screwing up his name.
Do you look at Winnipeg and Vancouver can both get back to modern day 500 tonight?
Modern day.
Winnipeg, okay. You expected that. Vancouver,
that's equivalent to 10 under.
You have to give Scheifele some love here because we're talking about Crosby and how valuable. Mm-hmm. Like Scheifele, to me, to be able to have done what he did so far in the first, 20 games of the season, 25.
The last 30 last year, too.
But no Brian Little, right? You lose Brian Little the fourth shift of the season, and there's no real second guy.
Plus, they stick him with a rookie.
There's a bunch of third and fourth guys, but for Scheifele to carry all that weight.
And they stick him with a rookie. Right? Who's the kid that's playing on his wing?
I think it's phenomenal that he's been able to do. Now he gets Little.
Amazing.
And Little, like, way to ease him in. I think he played 20 minutes since coming back.
Little's valuable, isn't
he? So valuable.
And it helped.
Little completely changes the dynamic of that team.
He's been a good player.
And he's going to be. Now you got to think twice about your matchups a little bit more.
But, Nick, think about, we did a thing the other night. Think about the best duos in the NHL. And the up-and-coming duo. Scheifele Laine as a duo to Kane and Taves. Now, I mean, unbelievable.
Can you acknowledge he was trying to be funny there and acknowledge that the rookie, they put him
yeah,
as a rookie?
Yeah, I know. I got it. But it's like...
The comedian thing has taken off.
When
out
I watched
there, Twitter world,
when I watched Laine score that game winner the other night against Corey Schneider, when you sit there and say, "How like what do we have in the league? 750 guys, 800 guys? How many are legitimate threats to score from 30 feet out? How many? I don't think there's 10."
And
maybe.
Then to say the boys in the dressing 10. Room told me to go blocker side,
like. When you think of a guy seriously. Like a guy that's a real threat to score from outside of there, okay, you think Stamkos, you think Ovechkin.
Brett Burns scored from 150 feet last week.
After that, you're going, okay, I think Jamie Benn, Tyler Seguin.
Yeah.
Kessel, on a good day, can score from 25, 30 feet out.
You're forwards, right? You're not talking about...
I'm talking about guys who you consider just that pure shooter.
Yeah.
And he's Ovechkin. Give me some other names.
But it's him and Ovechkin.
Who else?
He and Ovechkin are like, the real guys.
It's like, to me, it's just mind-boggling that
Schneider,
an 18-year-old kid can come in there and just do that
Schneider
quickly.
Owned him that night. And still, he went back to it and just ripped it.
And now they play the Oilers, and you're sitting there going, boy, with a... couple of more of those bingo bangle balls, if Laine would have ended up being with Connor McDavid, like the dynamic. And Puljujärvi, you hope one day can be that guy. I'm not
I'm not there. I don't get the sense that he knows how to score.
I'm not sure he'll be that dynamic, but he's going to be a really good player.
But what does that mean? You think he can score 40 goals in the league ever?
Yeah.
I haven't seen enough.
He's more of a playmaker. But,
yes. Yeah. But they need a guy like that. Connor needs a guy like that. And it's so crystal clear now that lineup doesn't have that guy. And you would have thought, hopefully, Eberle could have been more of
a
finisher. He is. He's a dangler, and he wants to go in there and do his little shifty moves. But he can't score from 25, 30 feet out.
I know who I'd put with him to try. I'm telling you who I'd put and give it a shot.
Well, tell us before the show runs out.
Kajulia. This kid can score. This kid can, and he's quick. I would try him with him. I really would, because he's a shooter.
But to your point, though, there's a handful of those guys that can score from 25
feet out.
Oh, no, there's a
handful. They come every,
Stamkos and Ovechkin are the first two guys that you think that are even, are right there.
And even you think about a Yager when he was in his prime. Was Yager that guy? No, he was more of an in tight.
Yeah. No.
He could score from there, but this guy is...
Brett Hull. Now we go back in history. Yeah. Now Mike Bossy.
Yeah.
Right now you're sitting there going, wow.
Rick Five.
And you're in a little different goalie era too as you move on.
Vancouver.
This is in a tough goalie era that this kid's doing it.
Vancouver. If they win tonight... You have to start looking at them differently.
Same as Calgary.
Yep.
They've done at Vancouver. Everybody was wanting to slam them.
I'm not there. You look at that lineup and give them full credit.
Yes.
Give them full credit for keeping it
together
off or interesting. But when you truly look at that lineup, you're sitting there going, delaying the inevitable?
Treading water.
Right.
But you got to give Willie credit, too. He was taking serious. Jimmy Benning, they hung in there, and they're back in it. I don't know long range how long it's going to last, but they're at least give them credit that they've battled in. And Burroughs, as a veteran guy, Horvat, Sutter. I mean, some of these guys have battled hard for them.
And this is going to be a tough stretch for them.
Yeah.
With the injuries in the back.
How about just the fact that Toronto's coming in and they're coming off that last game, 175 penalty minutes? That'll be fun to watch.
We talk about a quiet 22 points. That was a soft 170 penalty minutes.
I liked it, though.
It wasn't.
Come on. Goalies jumping on people. Come on.
Pillow fighting.
You don't see it. I don't care.
They were
fighting. I'll take a pillow fight in 2016. I won't take rock, paper, and scissors, though.
There was more contact in rock, paper, scissors than there was in the goalie fight.
No. Listen.
Joey McDonald played for the Islanders.
When you get into one fight, you let me know.
Darren, was Joey McDonald with the Islanders?
Yes. You know what? This thing goes back so far that we're going to have the goalies themselves texting you.
Who texted me the last one.
I played in that. Florida-Detroit tonight. Game 2 of the Tom Rowe era.
Yeah.
Ooh, it is the World Junior in Vancouver. Is that John Shannon?
That was an off-air conversation.
John Shannon.
There's an announcement from the Vancouver Canucks and Hockey Canada.
Wow.
And John's reporting that?
John saying World Junior Championship in 19 or at Jeff Merrick, the under 20 worlds to be in Vancouver. Wow, would that be super? I'd like to go to that building in Vancouver.
So excited!
I got a fan of the show offered me his two lower bowl tickets in Edmonton.
Well, that's good news. Seeing how the NHL revoked your pass.
No, that was the Panthers.
Winnipeg can tie Edmonton for points tonight, and those two teams have had very different starts to their seasons.
Let's
Anaheim
talk more
against Vancouver and Dallas, Pittsburgh,
Neuberth.
Jonas Enroth's family right now saying enough about Jonas.
Enough. Nobody's talked about him his whole career.
Have a good weekend, everyone.